Appreciate you all being in the house of the Lord. It's been a great day. It really has. If you think the two flags up here in the front of the church are merely for decoration, you should have been here today. Should have been here today when they took us back even farther than Fort McHenry. They took us back all the way to a people that was following a cloud by day and a fire by night. Brother Barnett came up here second and was a ministerial blessing to us. I told him after service was over and we were sitting in there eating a wonderful dinner. Thank you for that too. I told him, I said, you don't think normal. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I just, you know, even if he is getting five offerings to my one, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to him. Sorry, dog. I was just speaking, you know, from my heart about him. And he don't think normal. He doesn't. And this ain't the only time I've been around him. He don't think normal at home. But I tell you, I sat by him for just a brief moment at a funeral one time. I don't even remember whose funeral it was. But before the service started, there was just a few moments, and he may not even remember it, but there was just a few moments of interaction between me and him. And he told me, he said there were nights that he'd be down at the house with Chuck, taking care of Chucky, his handicapped son. And he'd go to bed and just wake up in the night thinking about a message, just being stirred about a message. And if that son wasn't enough to distract him, I don't know what a distraction would be. And yet he comes out of that corner swinging, and he's like us. We don't, neither one of us pastor the biggest churches in the world. If either one of us broke 100, we'd have to call 911 just for a blood pressure cuff. We don't have them great big crowds like that, but he comes out, and I appreciate a man like that. I really do appreciate Brother Suits, and this one of them deals. I brought a briefcase and a satchel, and I don't know how many dead dry men's bones I brought with me. And on this little trip, and today, you know, Dennis Heath called me earlier today, and that didn't help a bit. That didn't help a bit. I'm telling you, he was about as spiritual as a hiccup. That didn't help me a bit. But all afternoon, and even in the service tonight, I have been made aware of something. I want to read a verse, and however this goes, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just going to follow after the Spirit of the Lord right now. Just what I feel like doing. I'm not into running. I'm not into running to be asked to preach this meeting again. I'm not into running to preach Richlands again. I'm not into running. I'm telling you that I'm not into running for my church to rise and call me blessed. Me and my sweetheart got in this race and started running because we wanted to cross a finish line. And I don't always take the same course when the gun is sounded and they turn us loose. I don't always run the same track. I don't always run it. I don't run the same track. One youth camp out in Oklahoma, there at Purcell, Brother Steve Moore one year, and I don't know if they still do this or not, but they had a great custom out there for a while. They'd get golf carts, and there was no golf clubs or golf balls, just the carts. They'd get them golf carts and give the day speaker and the night speaker one, and at that time, Brother L.D. Moore was out there rolling around in one. because it was kind of a far laid out kind of a place. And I remember the day that Steve Moore got up and he advertised that for Fun Day on Friday, there was going to be a golf cart race. Okay. That sounds fine to me. And I lined up with all of the rest of them. They made a couple of mistakes right off the bat. Number one, they had one guy stationed there. He was supposed to hold my cart back. They don't have a lot of power. He was supposed to hold my cart back when everybody else launched out of there. And I don't know if it was before or after I ran over his foot that he decided that next time he's going to hold somebody else's cart. But I could see I was losing. I mean, it was just enough distraction there. I could see I was losing. But I told you they made two mistakes. The second mistake was they didn't tell me the route of the race. And so when they zigged, I zagged. And by the time they got back around over there by that little pond that they had, I was already past it. I cut down through the wood. I won. I was waiting on them. When they got back, I was waiting on them to get there. And I tell you, that's just in my nature. That's just in my nature. However we get to where we need to be, and whoever's doing the preaching or whoever's doing the singing or whatever's happening, that's the most important thing. And I want to read a verse over here in the book of Luke. Some of you will be glad to know that I'm not going to go back to the same story that I've been jumping on Sunday night and Monday night. And but I got this one thing here, and I tell you, I plead for your mercy if you're waiting for a 3-point outline, because I don't know if it's going to have any outline at all, but I have a point. I have a point. There's too many young people in this room and too much pent-up energy in a young generation in this room for us not to be capitalizing on having a move of God and having the power of God in this house. They've seen too many services and watched too many of you saints of God let go and let God have his way. Some of you folks are the godly example in some of them young folks' life. And I'm telling you, we know too much about this thing to have a common, ordinary, quiet Tuesday night fellowship meeting. Know too much about it. I'm telling you, we got some folks in here that absolutely, I mean, I know their capabilities and I know what their potential is, but I also know sometimes that we just need to absolutely push every. Last night at the end of the service, Sister Prescott walked up to me and she said, I want to tell you, Brother Height, that I really feel like I missed God in the service. And I, in my calm, casual way of being just the sweet chicken dumpling that I am, I said, why in the world would you want to do that? And she said, well, probably if I'd have been home, I would have. And I said, from this night forward, anytime you're anywhere in any church where I'm preaching, you are at home. She said, I just wanted to come out of there. And I wanted to confirm what the Holy Ghost had been dealing with me about and what you was saying and the glory of God. She said, I just wanted to confirm that in my hours of prayer, God was astirring my heart. And I'm telling you something. I am not going to let it go down in the history books that I should have done something and failed to do it because I allowed myself that one moment of the flesh and talk myself out of letting the Holy Ghost have his way in my life. I would have never got the Holy Ghost if I hadn't have yielded to him. And you would have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost if you hadn't have come out of where you're at and come to where he's at and didn't care who was in the house, who was watching, who was looking. And I want to read a verse to you. And I'm going to tell you something. And it ain't going to take me all night. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13. In fact, I didn't even know where it was at. I was over there thumbing through and looking, and I went to my trusty companion that is ever able and ever willing to push herself to the limits for a service, to be a helpmate to me. And she found this verse for me in Luke chapter 13. And the Bible says in Luke 13 and verse number 12, and when Jesus saw her, do you think that there is anybody sitting in this house right now that is escaping the knowledge and the stare of the Lord? Do you think that by finding a seat in the back over in the corner, and by locking down your seat belt and putting your anchor down by your ankle, that alleviates you from the fact that Jesus knows exactly where you're at? I'm going to tell you, a brazen, you don't have him fooled in the least bit. He knows where you are sitting. He knows why you are sitting. He knows the of which that brought you to the house of God. He knows those things that are a binding influence in our lives that takes us out of the house of God with the same raging contagion that we came with. Now, I'm telling you, if it was within my power to be in a service that I knew that the minute I stepped out by faith and let the Lord have his way in my life, if I knew that that healing virtue was going to come, I'm telling you, I wouldn't hesitate. I've been way too sick too many times. I've had too many needs too many times. I stand behind a pulpit after 20 years and I look at a congregation who has young people and moms and dads in that church, and I'm the only pastor that they've ever known. Is that scary or what? I'm the only pastor they've ever known. I'm the only one. I mean, I am their example of what a pastor ought to be. And I ain't even home right now. I'm out in Virginia. Some of them didn't even know how long the meeting was going to be. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. When I come into his presence and I know that he knows where I'm at and what I need and where my church is at and what my church needs, I am going to yield myself in that direction because I can't do it without him. I can't have a successful marriage without him. I can't have a successful ministry without him. I didn't finish my text. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now, I know that we think that there are only certain people that he uses in a service. And if they're not there, we already have it in our minds. We already have it in our minds. We ain't going to have too much of a service tonight. Brother Webb's out of town. They got somebody else filling in who can't preach his way out of a pickle barrel. We got half of the choir is gone. The choir leaders forgot the song. And we know that some of the piano players ain't going to be in the house. And there's something wrong with the PA system. And we were freezing to death this morning, and I'm burning up to death right now, and there's no comfortable middle ground in this thing. And if we're going to have a move of God, if we don't get the service to Brother Height or Brother Suits or Brother Barnett, if we don't get that service in the hand of that announced actor that's going to stand behind the pulpit and entertain us for the next 30 minutes or next hour, we can't have a move of God. But I'm telling you something. You can have a move of God the minute he lays his hand on you if you'll lean back and say, here am I, use me. I'm still trying to read my text. I haven't got to my text. Boy, I'm glad I'm not odd like Brother Barnett is. I'm glad I'm normal. And when Jesus saw her, he called, you like my glass? You think my glasses fit? You like them? It's okay. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now you listen. We are absolutely, positively the most churchiest generation of all times. There was a time in the beginning of the church age where they were underground, Roman catacombs, hiding from the government at the risk of their very life, and the church was a non-entity. They'd get together, pray behind closed doors, ask the Lord to bless, but I'm telling you, they've busted out. And we are in an age right now, in a generation, that the church is even thriving in Russia. There's even a church thriving in China. I'm telling you, we are the churchiest generation that we have ever seen. We have more little churches and good preachers and wonderful. I'm telling you, we got so many good singers and we don't know who to use next. And we got so many good preachers and we don't even know who to call next. Our camp meeting is like a who's who of Pentecostal greats. We don't know who they're going to have up in today's service. We don't know who. I'm telling you, we are the churchiest generation that's ever been. But I am watching that church generation lose that contact of the power of God quicker than any generation has ever lost it. I got one man in my church. He's an older gentleman. And I asked him the other night, I asked him, what did you think about that service when Jordan ran from the front of the building to the back corner of the building and fell out on the floor back here beside you, and his dad was right behind him? What did you think about that? And that older gentleman looked at me and he said, we all have our own connection. We all have our own connection. We all have our own way of feeling things and doing things, and no criticism whatsoever, because we all do have our own connection and we all do have our way of doing things and saying things. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, that connection ought to be glorified, electrified, and magnified. And there shouldn't have to be a cheerleader in the front of the house telling us how to get in and let go and let God have His way. I'm telling you, there's been examples in our ministry. We preached a camp meeting in the United States of America, someplace beneath the banners of the red, white, and blue. And the very minute that they turned the service over to me, I knew that I was a-fixing to go through deep waters trying to get home. My wife at that moment had one of those esophageal attacks that she had before we found out she had Addison's. She was laid up over there in a trailer that they had put us in for the camp meeting. They turned the service to me. Half of them didn't know who I was. The other half didn't care who I was. And if there was another half in there, they didn't like me because they already knew who I was. I got it behind that pulpit and went to preaching that night. And I'm telling you, there was about as much power God in that house as a blue tick coon hound has when he's out there on the trail of a deer instead of the coon he's supposed to be after. There wasn't no spirit. There wasn't no move. And all I can tell you was I was aware of the fact that God was wanting to do something in that room. And I didn't know how to get myself out of the way long enough for God to have His way. And you know what happened? From the back of the house, a little old grandma, she came out of there with a little bun tied on the back of her head and her little old dress just about dragging the ground. She shouted down that aisle. She went to doing laps around the front of that building, and little did I know, she was the area grandma. If anybody could have broke it open, it was that little grandma. And I'm telling you, till 3 o'clock in the morning, we were having a move of the Holy Ghost. When I got back to the trailer, you know, and tried to describe what happened in that service that night, I couldn't even describe it. we were having a service that was indescribable. And I'm telling you, in a generation that's the church's generation, this side of Pentecost, we've got enough people in this room right now that's got enough knowledge about what God is able to do. And we ought to be shouting out of and coming out of every hindrance that we drag through the door behind us. I'm telling you, there's a place in God. He wants you to feel loose. Every time he went to church, something happened. When they looked for him at 12, he was at church. Something happened. Every time he went to church, there was a man with a withered hand. Or there was this story. Or there was that story. Or just plain and simple, the day that he went to church and stood up for to read and told everybody that the Spirit of God is upon me. I'm going to let you in on a secret right now. You might have come tonight not expecting a move of God, but that's not the reason he showed up. You may have come tonight waiting for some other freeze-dried sermon, but that's not why he came. He came to allow the glory of God to rest on us. I ain't going to be up here long. I was too long last night. Too hot. Sick. I ain't going to be up here long. I'm going to tell you something. 18 years, a lady bent over, bowed down with an infirmity. How long are you going to let this thing dominate your life? There are people, Brother Barnett, at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, who still tell me horror stories of former administrations. Horror stories of what former pastors have done. Horror stories of what happened to some of the church people. And I could start tonight telling you stories of a divorce here and a breakdown here and a devil possession. We both know about it. And a devil possession and all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, if I allowed the baggage of every woe and every worry to bend me down low, I'd never feel like getting into service either. I'd never feel like allowing the Holy Ghost to have it. What some of you need to do, you need to get delivered of some of the junk that you've been a-talking about and a-thinking about and a-worrying about. Okay, you don't have the world's perfect dad. Neither did I. But I didn't let it keep me from becoming a child of God and getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you didn't have the world's most perfect mama. Neither did I. In fact, there's probably very few of you preachers in here when you announced that the ministry was going to be part of your life. Brother Suits, probably very few of them in here had the reaction that this old boy had. Walked in the house, and instead of seeing my mom jump up and down and thank God that her little boy was going to turn in the right direction and be a holiness preacher, she tried to talk it out of me for 6 months and for a year. I'm telling you, it took a long time forever to start catering up to the most precious woman in the world. But did I sit there and chew my fingernails off in the quick and blame my lack of the blessings of God because my mom and dad wasn't for it? No, I was not going to let that thing bind me up. Let me if you'd have known about the history of my husband and his tomcatting ways, you wouldn't look at me and think that I ought to let go and let the Holy Ghost have his way. Okay? I'll give you that one. You can set on that excuse for the rest of your life. But the difference between being bound and being bitter is a very, very thin line. Well, I'm telling you something. You don't know what my boy's been doing. You don't know the reputation that he's got. I have no idea what my boys would be doing or the reputation that they've got. But I'd guarantee it, they'd be first in the golf cart race if they had a chance. I'm telling you, we can look at 100 excuses to sit back there on our hands and plead our woe and look in the mirror and say, poor, pitiful me. The church ought to feel sorry for me instead of asking me to lift my hands and worship God. But I'm telling you, that's the difference between being bound and being set free. Since I figure this is 3 years in a row, and it'll take Randy 3 more years to put this meeting back together, you can see how successful I was last night. I think I shot some folks right out of the saddle. But I'm telling you, you're in a Tuesday night service that when they come through the door tomorrow night, you know what some of them's going to be talking about? The Tuesday night service during the fellowship meeting. When the power of God fell and folks started getting delivered of things that had them tortured and bound and tied up. I'm telling you, we've got individuals in our churches that are this close to putting their hand on the very medicine of heaven that could absolutely change their life and turn them in to the glorious person that God wants them to be. And I'm going to tell you, your excuse ain't going to be comfortable tonight. Little old David Brock walk in them campgrounds, them little feet walking down them little aisles. Me up there preaching my guts out some nights to a crowd of older folks who come out just to see if we was really having a youth camp they said we was. And that night, and I leaned back and said, I wished you'd let the Lord have his way in your life. The only youngin' that responded was little David. He come out of that seat, and he come walking down that aisle. And I'm telling you, at that moment, I could have took care of every Goliath that was in the house. Because I'm telling you, with that little slingshot and the glory of God that I was feeling, I knew he's on the right place at the right time, and I feel that way right now. This is the right night for you to come out of it. This is the right night for you to get the victory over it. Every time you testify, it's about what happened. What happened? They call that history. You know why they call it history? Because it was yesterday. And it's over. And you don't have to live it again. You can have a brand new night. Pray, Brother Barnett, and think of something crazy. I need help. Listen. This lady, 18 years, been over in a condition where if you was to say, hi, what kind of day you having? She would say, best I can. 18 years. Now that's a long time. That's a long time. Boy, don't get too settled. Don't get too settled. We're going to break a few eggs here and make an omelet before this is over. 18 years. And so my question to you is, How much longer are you going to go without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How much longer are you going to sing in the youth choir without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How much longer are you going to come to fellowship meetings without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How much longer are you going to hold on to that wretched testimony about your past without allowing God? How much longer are we going to walk into the house of God with our eyes already looking down, knowing that there's no reason whatsoever to look up to the hills? Which cometh our help? What cometh from the Lord? I'm telling you, there are people that came to this meeting Sunday night already decided it's going to be the same old, same old. There's people that come to this meeting already decided he's going to preach the same old way and we're going to eat the same old hamburger. I ain't out here for a hamburger. I'm out here to see somebody come out of there loosed. What would you do right now if some young person in the back of this church lifted their hands and yielded themselves to the power of God and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What would you do? What would you do? I tell you, we're the churchiest generation that's ever been. And we walk through these doors and walk out of these doors with the greatest opportunity that a church world has ever had. Now you listen close. I'm going to wind her down. Yes, I am. 18 years, she was bent over with some kind of an infirmity. I'm going to tell you something. You listen. I'm going to tell you something. There are some infirmities that's attacking the people of God like you could never believe in 1,000 years. There are spirits, I mean, I talk to Brother Barnett and give him a heads up on a young couple that was leaving our place, going down to his place. And I give him a heads up about it. And evidently, he went to the bank on it. Because the next time they come to talk to me, they let me and my wife know that they had tried to talk to Brother Barnett about it. And he just, I just love it. I just love it when some of us are going to do right and be right, regardless of who's there or who ain't there. And we talk to them a little while longer, but I'm telling you, there is a raging contagion of spirits out there in this world, spirits that want to turn your little boys into little girls, and spirits that want to turn your little girls into little boys. There are spirits out there that wants to turn your husbands into walking pedophiles and wants to turn wives into battered condition and fall for any old gas station monkey that happens to put oil under the engine. I'm telling you, we got spirits like that. We're fighting things like that. Now you take a deep breath and pull your gut in close to your backbone. Because I'm fixing to tell you something. If some of the reviews that I've been reading about fall television shows, and if some of the things that I've been reading in Newsweek about some of the current movies that's coming out on the open screen, from what I read in some of those things, Harry Potter and his bunch ought to be having a revival someplace down in southern Missouri. I'm telling you, from that little episode to what they're producing now, belching out of hell, and the songs that are belching out of hell, and the young little singers that has to put parent advisories on the CD cover because it ain't even good listening for young people. I'm telling you, we got some binding things. Now listen, it ain't going to do me no good. It ain't going to do me no good. Talk to you about the net. It ain't going to do me no good because it's here to stay. It's here to stay. I mean, there are some places that we do business with that if I wasn't married, I'd be in jail. Because the only way to contact some of them Aborigines is through the internet. And I'm just as honest with you. I barely know what to do with a fishnet, let alone know what to do with the internet. It's here to stay. You hear me? It's part of our society. It has ingrained itself into our very lifestyles. I hope you're not still preaching against VCRs. If you are, you are a dinosaur. I hope you're not still preaching against some of those things that some folks lost fellowship over. Because if you do, you are a dinosaur. You are still cooking your meat over an open flame, living in a cave, and Tyrannosaurus Rex is your best pet. I'm telling you, things have modernized, and things has changed, and the world has changed, and we're in a different age now. We're in a different time now. But do you think he didn't make allowances for that? He gave us a Holy Ghost that will allow us to stay above it. Getting on the internet, honey. Getting on the internet, sweetheart. You want to come and look? See where I'm at? It'll either be Smith & Wesson, Ruger, Kimber, Carr, K-A-H-R. It'll only be a few of those key places that should be at the top of every man's wish list. What you doing, honey? Still up here trying to get this thing straightened out. And my wife, if you think that I manifest some kind of spirit of silliness, you ought to hear her upstairs speaking to a computer that has no intentions of answering her. I can hear her. Brother Suits, I can hear her. Ooh. Oh, no, you're not. Uh-uh. Not today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not today. I hear her up there. And I know she's not ordering Avon. I know it's not some kind of Tupperware party she's having up there. I know that she's doing battle with that internet. And she is the most tenacious chalk tall that you've ever seen. And I get a kick out of it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you think you will. You think you will. I'll just turn you off. I'll go downstairs and I'll come back to you. I'm telling you, she talks to that thing. I go up there sometimes and expect to see it melted, laying right there from the vehement breath of the Choctaw who's been chewing it up one side and down the other. I'm telling you, brother, sister, you don't have to let those influences bind you. You can be the master over them, but you can't be the master without the deliverance of God. Listen close. Listen close. Bristow camp meeting last year. Got it? Bristow. I preached the same text every night. You can tell I did great. But I preached the same text every night. And on the Wednesday night of that text, something happened in the tabernacle. Now you listen close. There are certain conditions when they break out in the house of God that you should shield your children from. There are certain things that happen in the presence of God when the saints are doing battle with evil that you shouldn't be a casual onlooker. You shouldn't allow that to be your Saturday night or your Tuesday night at the movies. And especially if you are as carnal as a clam, you shouldn't be standing anywhere close where somebody is fixing to be delivered of something that's going to immediately be looking for another house. Now you listen to me. Some of these dastardly deeds that we're hearing about happening to little children, those priests from the Catholic a puke patch where they're turning out a bunch of guys that their collar is so tight they've lost all contact with their brain and the only thing they can think about is self-gratification. I'm telling you, it's a spirit that's in that worldly church. It's a demonic spirit that's hatched over in the Rome. But I'm telling you, there's certain things when they start happening that you would be best to take your children, shuffle them right out of the house of God, take them right onto the concession stand. Don't wait for a dismissal. Don't wait for a dismissal. You listen. I ain't done. I just looked done. For 18 years, a lady was bent over with this spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity. There was something about this spirit that had a hold of her. It was causing her to react like she was reacting. It wasn't curvature of the spine. It wasn't kidney failure. It wasn't liver disorder. There was a spirit that had a hold of her that medically they would not have been able to find one thing wrong with that lady. But the spirit manifested itself in an 18-year stupor that caused this woman under the possession of something that she needed loose from to be reacting like she was. When they called our police department for backup out in the county a while back, the call was a man was beating his wife senseless. When the first county deputy got on the scene, he immediately lost control of his arm or his hand. The guy broke it. I mean this right there. So grabbing his radio out of the other hand, he called another West Plain City guy who got out there to help the county guy, who immediately came up with another broken bone. I'm telling you, it sounded like a popcorn factory out in the county, I suppose. The only other guy on was the new guy, the 11 o'clock guy. Short, stocky, like me, ain't near as good looking, had a lot of things working against him. He got out there with that guy that had beat this lady senseless, and these two officers on the ground with broken bones. He reached for that little zapper on his belt, and he said, "You got two choices. I zap you with this, or I shoot you with the other one." I just like stuff like that. I just do. But the ensuing struggle that finally cultivated in a trip to the hospital and calling out the chaplain, the man was dead, very, very, very dead. But I'm telling you, not before it went down in the record books that there was a supernatural strength that he had, a supernatural something that had a hold of him. Now, I'm telling you, if you've been trying to bust the spirit of smoking for 18 years, you got a spirit in there that needs to come out. You've been trying to get over pornography for 18 years. Your problem ain't your eyeballs. Your problem is you got a spirit that needs to come out. I'm telling you, if you're in this room, if you're in this room and there are devilish things that are destroying your morals, you need that spirit delivered.
Altar service came, and young lady came to the altar service in her teens, 17 years old, about the size physically of Mackenzie, came to pray. As usual, I go to pray with whoever, some of the ladies gathered around. And shortly thereafter, it was evident she was devil-possessed. From what I understand after the fact, this young teenage girl was raised among us holiness people. She was a descendant of a holiness pastor, man of God. Those devils begin to reveal themselves. A sum total of 2 hours and 45 minutes. We fought and prayed and saw devils come out of this child. In that length of time, from an altar over about where this front pew is at, Listen. That mere child, Listen. The devils literally Listen. Fought, Listen. Foamed, Listen. Distorted her Listen. Body Listen. To where it looked like, Listen. How do you describe it? It distorted her arms and legs until where she really looked like an animal. She hissed like a cat. She leaped for men and women around her to claw their eyes out. She went from an altar about in this position, and it would carry her body as we prayed and agonized for probably 12, not to exaggerate, 12, 14 feet. Brother Tommy Tolliver was there. Brother Aaron Brock was there. Sister Shirley Lester, pastors' wives, great men of God, great preachers. As we fought these demonic powers. And this child, these devils, would reveal themselves and then men, grown men and women would attempt to hold her body down while those devils, I don't know how many, one would come out. And that girl, that child, would go become herself again. And I struggled to get to her. And I would say, honey, you're okay. Because it was the normal child then talking to me. Honey, you're okay. Everything's all right. She would come through. Those devils would reveal themselves again. And numerous times, I watched as that body of a 17-year-old girl would levitate, suspend itself in midair. Grown men, us women, was trying to hold her down. But the devils were so strong, her body would levitate. You hear me? Listen. Are you getting that? Are you listening? Possessed. Numerous. I don't know how many devils we saw among this Pentecostal child come out. Listen. And I was getting, from the heat, I was getting so physically sick, Brother Randy, that my good judgment said, remove yourself from this throne of spectators and onlookers and get out of the way and sit down. But in my spirit, I later told Brother Hyde, I said, I was as though, in my spirit, I felt like somebody giving CPR. And if my spirit left this child, part of the results would be in my hands, and I could not leave.
Listen. Now, we ain't talking about this because we're trying to make some kind of ad in the National Enquirer. I'm talking about there are infirmity spirits that have people bound over and have had them bound over a long time. And the longer you allow that spirit to have his way in your life, the worse it's going to be and the harder it's going to be to get loose. It's going to be a devil casting out night? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, we may successfully remove a little garbage and a little trash in some people's worship and free them up that they don't have to gravitate to the back and wish the service was over so they could get on out on the road and head back to the house. No, because, Brother Suits, boy, you should preach tonight. I can tell it right now. You should. Somebody should have. But I'm telling you, this lady that was bent over for 18 years with an infirmity, something happened. She came in contact with the same power of God that was in this house during our song service. The same power of God that was evident in this house when the choir was singing. The same power of God that picked her up off a pew a while ago and caused her to shout while I was preaching. I'm telling you, there's a power of God in this house tonight. And the only thing bigger than he is the God of heaven. There is nothing in this house impossible. Listen. When he came in contact with it, two things happened. First, woman, thou art loosed. I read it to you. Did you read that? Woman, thou art loosed. I don't think she stood up yet. I don't think there was a change in her stature. I think when he uttered those words, that she was in the same bent over position that she was in before he ever said anything. Because I don't think he was talking to her. I think he was talking to something else, telling it, you're going to turn loose tonight. You're going to turn loose tonight. You're going to let her go tonight. In the very next verse, what does the Bible say? Then he laid his hands on her. I think she stood up then. Now don't everybody jump up and shout at once. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting in here right now, waiting to feel his hand rest on your forehead and tell you that you have been healed, I got some of the best news you're going to hear all night. He's already told you that you're loosed. Hey, you didn't get that. Woman, thou art loosed. Then he touched her. If you're waiting for a touch, I got some of the best news you're going to hear all day. He's already told you it doesn't have to keep you down. It doesn't have to keep you bound. Are you telling me that all I have to do is believe what he said and the next thing's going to happen to me? I'm going to feel his touch. Yeah. 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 Boy, it's been good being with you. And I appreciate the 3 years that Brother Randy hoped that I could eventually get it right. And I'm sorry tonight that I'm dragging this thing through the mud and don't know if I could ever resurrect it. But I'm telling you, you've already got his word. that you don't have to go like you came. He's already told you that in His presence is fullness of joy. He's already told you that there is a power, a liberating power that can happen if you lift your hands and let Him have His way. He's already told you that. You hear me? If you're waiting for the touch. If you're waiting for the touch, come out of there. Walk toward this altar. Raise your hands. Look at Him and say, I believe what you've already said. I believe there is deliverance. I believe what you've already said. I believe there is the. I believe there is deliverance. I believe there's deliverance. Are you looking? Are you listening? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching? We're not just playing Dixie down here. We're in a battle. Our babies are in chairs with special needs. Our husbands are stepping out. Our wives have lost the love of their marriage. We gotta have a loosening. You know why they brought that baby down here to this front? Because they believe what's already been said about the power of God. They believe it. And if they're willing to step out on faith, believing God for this baby, why are you still standing there? Buffeted by 18 years with the same gnawing habit. And the same gnawing feeling, the same nerve trouble, the same depression, the same overshadowing. Why would we on a Tuesday night, when God is as close, as the mention of His name, why would anybody choose to get up and walk out of a church that they can get the victory in? We have a little special needs boy at Calvary. We have a little special needs boy at Calvary. Very few times in a move of God that they don't bring Derek out, bring him down to the front, and have us pray for him. And I tell you what it does every time. It makes everybody in the house say, my God, if they are willing to put everything on the line, and take a step of faith like that. It ought not be too hard for me to step out of a pew and walk down to the front of a church and tell God, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? I'm telling you, if you're waiting for an example, you're looking at it. You better watch it. These big old boys are coming out from the back of the house now. I told you we're not interested in a fellowship meeting. We're going to have a revival. You hear me? I told you. I told you.